This week's parsha, so we're introduced to Rachel and Leah. Ulavon shtei vanos, shema gedola Leah v'shema ketana Rachel. Ve'inei Leah rakos, v'Rachel haisa yifas tar v'yifas mare. Very strange description of the imahos. Instead of telling us about their midos, their fine qualities, we get a description of their looks. Leah's described as having soft eyes, bloodshot, teary eyes, sad looking, a little pathetic looking, even if it's not disrespectful to say. And Rachel is a beautiful of form and beautiful of appearance. Why was Leah so sad looking? So Rashi tells us, Rakos, Shaisa Svura Lalos, Bigorolo Shal Esav, Ubachta, Shayakol Omrim Shnei Bonim Lerivka, Ushnei Bonos Lelavon, Hagadol Lagado, Vaktana Lekatan. So Leah knew the rumors around town that her Shidduch was Esav, as opposed to her younger daughter, her beautiful younger sister, Rachel, who was going to marry the tzaddik Esav. Why was Leah destined? Why was Leah destined to marry a Rasha? Why was Rachel destined to marry a tzaddik? So Tzadok, in his Sefer Takanas Hashavim, Rav Tzadok explains that these descriptions are clearly not descriptions of their personal, their appearances. We wouldn't describe the himos in that way. Rav Tzadok has, and it's a very creative description, maybe even radical suggestion. But Rav Tzadok writes, Rachel, by saying that she's Yifas Torah and Yifas Mare, it could be that she was a very beautiful girl. And probably, as we know, that there's always a reflection between the material world and the spiritual world. So Rachel was very beautiful. But what the Torah is saying is that Rachel was a tzaddikas. She was that, you know, that girl, the girl who was always the good girl, the angel. That's who Rachel was, straight shooter, always doing the right thing, as opposed to Leah. Rav Tzadok says, what does it mean that Leah's eyes were always tearing? Yes, it's true. Rashi says Leah's eyes were tearing because she was crying over the fact that she was getting Esav. But Rav Tzadok gives a different interpretation of what it means that her eyes were red, that she was always crying. He says, crying eyes are the sign of a Baal Tshuva. Someone who cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who tries to climb out of the pit. And if Rav Tzadok didn't say it, it would be hard for us to say it. But Rav Tzadok says that Leah here represents a certain paradigm. We have the paradigm of the tzaddik, the person who just naturally, they're just a good person. You see them, they're always doing what's right. They're always on time. They seem to be able to sit for hours in the Beis Medrash. They have no Yetzihara to go out. As soon as they finish Shmon Esrei and we're waiting for Chazar Sashat, they have no Yetzihara to go outside and to hang out. They have no Yetzihara to take coffee breaks during morning Seder. That's Rachel. That's Yifas Toar, Yifas Mareh. You know, you look at her and you just say, oh, what a good girl. And then there's the Leah personality. That's the person who struggles. That's the person who it doesn't come naturally. That's the person who sometimes makes mistakes and has to climb out of the pit. They have to struggle with the desire to go out of the Beis Medrash, with the desire to speak Lashon Hara. In the Sefer Be'er Mayim Chayim, He suggests also a very radical interpretation of two terms that we're familiar with. Tzadik v'tovlo and tzadik v'ralo. We traditionally interpret these terms to mean tzadik v'tovlo, that's a person who's a tzadik, and you see in his life everything seems to go well for him. Great family, great job. God's really smiling at him. And then there's the tzadik v'ralo. You know, the guy who's a tzadik and he's doing everything right, and yet he's such a nebuch. Everything keeps messing up for him. He has a tough life, tough parnasa. Tzadik v'ralo. The Be'er Mayim Chaim gives a different interpretation of tzadik v'tovlo and tzadik v'ralo. And it parallels these two prototypes that we just described. Tzadik v'tovlo means someone who's a tzadik and it works for him. It flows, it's easy. You know, that guy in the Beis Medrash that you look at, and it just seems like he's so easy for him. And tzadik v'ralo means someone who's a tzadik, but it's hard. It's a struggle. It's raw, it's bitter. It's a battle. Leah might have been the tzadik v'ralo. It might have been a struggle for her. It might have been a challenge. But we all know the end of the story. Leah doesn't marry Esav. In fact, not only is she successful at not marrying Esav, but she ends up marrying the good boy. Yaakov was the Yelato of Yerushalayim. You know, he always did what was right. He sat, Yoshev O'alim. He was always learning. He always was doing what was right. And the Shidduch was with Rachel. She was the good girl. Not only does Leah not have to marry Esav, but in a certain sense, she transcends Rachel. Leah has more children. More of the Shiftei Ka come from Leah. Rachel actually dies early. She leaves the story early. Right? You ever start a book and then the lead figure dies like in the second chapter? What's going on? So Leah grows to great prominence. And it's actually much, much more than that. Certainly, Ein Lanu Esek Bin Istarim. I'm certainly not well versed enough in Kabbalistic literature to really know what this means. But I've seen quoted in the name of the Zohar that the Zohar and the Ramchal develops this theme. Apparently in the Zohar, it says about Rachel that Rachel represents Alma d'Isgalia. And Leah represents Alma d'Iskasia. What do those terms mean? Rachel is Alma d'Isgalia. It means the revealed world. And Leah represents Alma de Iskasia, the hidden world. And in the writings of the Ramchal, and I'm told in much of Hasidic literature as well, Rachel and Leah represent two different relationships that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. Rachel represents the revealed relationship. What we would maybe, even though we use this in a negative way, but it's also just a technical term. The superficial relationship, by us that has a negative interpretation, but superficial means what's on the outside. And Leah represents the Alma d'Iskasia, the hidden, the deeper relationship between Klal Yisrael. We all know sometimes with a friend, certainly you'll see with a spouse, there's the external relationship, and then there's the deeper core relationship, the inherent relationship. And certainly when we're building relationships, here we're all B'nai Yeshiva, sitting in Yeshiva, spending hours and hours chazering, trying to remember the Gemaras that we learned, trying to understand Shir, finish Nayim Mikra. Certainly there's a lot of external things that are going on. But obviously, I would hope, that the goal is the internal relationship, the deep relationship, the Alma d'Iskasia. And again, not knowing exactly what that means, because we're certainly not the ones to decide, Rachel, Leah, this one's greater, that one's greater. Mitzad Echad, we know that Chazal tell us, but Makom Shebali Tshuvim Omdim, Ein Tzadikim Gemur, Nichom Lamon. Then you open up a Tanya, and the Tanya starts speaking about levels of souls, and it sounds like the Tzadik's on a much higher level than the Baal Tshuva. So we're not here to paskin Rachel versus Leah. But we can look at the facts. Leah certainly rises to tremendous prominence. And whatever the Zohar means, Leah is Alma de Iskasya. She's the deeper, the depth relationship. The Ramchal quotes a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis that describes, that quotes Adam. And when he finally finds Chava, the pasuk says, Zos hapam etzem me'atzamai u'basar mi'basari. Etzem me'atzamai, a bone from my bones, and basar mi'basari. Apparently in Kabbalistic literature it says, this is Rachel and Leah. What does that mean? There's the basar, there's the external, and then there's the etzem, there's the bone. The bone is what gives structure to the body. Without the bones, the body would fall apart. The bone is the inner core. It's what gives the structure. And then the basar, the basar is around it. It's on the outside. And this reflects, again, guf and neshama, essence and external. This is Rachel and Leah. Leah's the essence. She's the what's on the inside. So amazingly, Leah represents some deeper relationship. Even though Leah started, she was on the out. It's hard to suggest such things because I didn't see it in a sefer. But just a few minutes ago when I was looking for the psukim, amazingly, I see here that when Yaakov comes to Lavan, Vayomer lo Lavan, ach atzmi u'bisari ata. Amazing foreshadowing to what's going to happen if those two terms really refer to Rachel and Leah. The first thing Lavan says to him is, you're my etzem and my basar. A foreshadowing to the relationship that Yaakov will have with his two daughters. Ach hapam, etzem me'atzamai u'basar mi'bisari. So how is it that Leah ends up symbolizing the etzem? How is it that Leah ends up as the, if we could say it, how do Leah ends up on top at the end of this story? Leah starts with the crying eyes, destined for Esav, and in the end of the story, Leah ends up being the one who is the mother of the most of the Shiftei Ka. She's what Kabbalistic literature refers to as the Alma de Iskasya. What's the secret? And the secret is Pashit. You know, the shidduch between Leah and Esav wasn't supposed to be a shidduch of two bad people. Remember, Leah and Rachel are two different prototypes of tzaddikim. They're both tzaddikim. One is tzaddik v'tovlo, it comes naturally, and one needs to fight to get there. Esav also had potential to be a tzaddik, and that's Pashit. Yitzchak obviously brought Esav close, because Yitzchak knew Esav's potential. The Torah describes Esav as an admoni. What does that mean, that he's admoni, that he was full of seyar, that he was red? So we know Chazal say that the red, the hair, all of that, that reflects a certain intensity, a certain unbridled power. But you know who else it says that about? David HaMelech. Same description of David HaMelech. And the Medrash notices this. And the Medrash says, yes, David HaMelech and Esav came from the same, they were cut from the same cloth. And what was the difference? That David made something of himself. He channeled that unbridled energy. And he became somebody great. Not somebody great. One of the greats. Because sitting in a base medrash and struggling with learning, struggling with davening, struggling with midos tovos, struggling with shmiras einayim, these are not your downfall. These are your ticket to ultimate success. And Leah achieved the tremendous level that she achieved, not despite her qualities, but because of those qualities. And her and Esav could have been an amazing shidduch if Esav would have followed the lead of David HaMelech many years in the future. But Esav wrote himself out of Jewish destiny, and Leah wrote herself into Jewish destiny. And Leah has the position that she has because she had teary eyes, because she cried many nights as she struggled to be great. And there were times when she was broken, and there were times when she struggled, and there were times when she felt, I can't do this, look at everybody else. Look how everyone else seems to be doing so well in Shir. And I struggle to understand what's going on, let alone I can't ask those bomb kashas that guy's asking. I can't stay in the base medrash as late as everybody else. I can't even stay until 7:15 or 7:30, whenever. I don't even know what time afternoon Seder ends, because I always cut out before that time. But Leah pushes herself, and because she perseveres, she's successful. Yitzchak tried so hard. He said to Esav, Sana kleyecha, when he told him to go out and hunt, he says to him, lift up your tools. And all of the mefarshim, all the darshanim say, he wasn't telling him to pick up his bow and arrow. He was telling him to elevate what he has. It's true, go out and pick up your bow and arrow and find me some tzayid. But raise up what you have. Capitalize on what you see as your shortcomings and turn them into the reason why you'll be successful. The secret to Leah's success and our legacy that we get from Leah, what we learn from Leah for the Doros, is that no matter how many cards are stacked against you, if you cry and you work hard and you persevere, so not only will you succeed, but you will far transcend what you could ever have imagined you could have accomplished.